This is going to be a different than was last time.
Yeah.
Got to get some carrots out of the novel. So like those. Hey. Shall we start, Karen? Here it is. No, the meeting in the Port of Port Townsend is called to order at 9:30 a.m. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our first monthly workshop for Wednesday, November 9th. We are meeting here in person at the Point Hudson Pavilion building along with Zoom and phone access. I am your chair, Commissioner Petrone, and with me is Commissioner Hosse, District 2, and Commissioner Pinky, District 3. So we don't say the pledge later, and we have guests today. We want to welcome Carrie Pike, Director of Park Strategy. And you're going to do a presentation on our pool.
Yeah.
And we have our guest, John Morrow, city manager here with us too. So you're going to help.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to your presentation. And how do you want this to go? Do you want to have interaction during, or do you want to do a presentation and then be
back? Interaction during is fine. I think John wants to introduce it and then I'll present and. Any questions you have during the presentation?
Okay.
Well, I would just maybe start by saying it's been a pleasure to work with both John and Carrie as this project has started to kick off. From my two cents, I'm truly shocked actually that this community surrounded by water, with boats everywhere and maritime culture ingrained throughout and within the schools has no way to teach kids how to swim. And talking to our tenant at the dive shop, no effective way to teach people how to dive in Port Townsend anymore, or really in Jefferson County. I think he's made some inroads with the Y recently, kind of one person at a time. So it's difficult for me to imagine how, you know, these so critical kind of cultural elements of being on the water work without learning water safety. So from a port standpoint, it just seems like the swimming pool part of this, I know this is a little bit larger strategy than just a pool, but the pool in particular seems vitally important to this being a whole community that really works. So we're on board with this project for, you know, just $5,000. We're kind of the junior partners at the table, but really can play a supportive role with our little girl on team and the advocates for ultimately the funding that will be necessary. I think the intent here is to really develop the scope of project and the funding pathways. And then hopefully it's everybody rolling up their sleeves to support this project, just as everyone did before the jetty that's underway out our window here. So yeah, looking forward to it. And sooner the better. We've got people that need to learn to swim, like today. And apparently Sandy Short doesn't teach swimming anymore. So, you know, there's that. I don't know if you knew that, but there's a swimming pool, Short's Farm, and Sandy taught generations of kids in the Chemical Valley how to swim. So found a need and filled it herself.
Well, one of our yard lift operators, the lifeguard pool, before his job, all the boats.
That must be Bertram.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
And I my kids grew up there swimming with swimming lessons and doing diving out in the bay, learning in the pool. So when did that stop? When did the schools not be able to access and have all those swim lessons that we used to have? I wonder what happened.
I think let's let John again.
But
yeah. Do you want me to ask
yes.
there?
Whatever you're comfortable.
Okay.
You've got the screen, but you can always pull that back too. So okay. Whoever works to see everybody.
Okay. Well, whatever you prefer.
You look good right there.
Well, just to answer that question, Commissioner Petronic, I think COVID had quite a lot to do with it because we did have an arrangement with the Y and the school district. That was changed during the fact that we had to close pool down for a while. So I know that was the most immediate, most recent change there. But maybe to back up too, because I think some of this, just to set a little groundwork and then into dialogue, I've made suggestions. It's pretty short, the slide deck, right?
Yeah.
And I only have three things I wanted to say. And this is kind of what I said with the Board of Commissioners to the county. Because I'm here really just to intro Carrie, and Aaron already gave our presentation. So, you know, we can just he knows it really well. I really appreciate it. The conversation we've had about this project and how you know, just the ethos of the board to kind of like work we lend in, you know, lend an oar. But just to back up, this subject I know has been germane to this community for a number of years, and to your point, you know, for decades really. And we've made repeated attempts to find success. Mountain View Pool is very old. We can get into the detail. It used to be an uncovered open air pool. And I mean, it's got some interesting history. It doesn't serve us optimally. And so those repeated attempts, even, you know, just the last couple decades, have all failed, obviously, because we're still here trying to solve this, you know, problem. But just like approaching the commission and how I have happy thoughts and warm feelings when I engage with the court. So I'm gracious to you and your leadership, to your executive director and esteemed staff. It's sort of the same thing. We're together. And I think as is in the title, you know, that we're together in a way we haven't been in a while. And I think that's an optimum opportunity. I know Commissioner Hasse speaks to this often and it warms my heart. We're just in this unique time where we as agencies are just pulling all the same direction. That's exemplified through this project. And Carrie can get into detail about who else is kind of aside us helping, but that's an awesome opportunity. So together, the other word I have for you is timing, because now is kind of the optimal time because of who's together at the table, the height of the need, and frankly, the critical nature of pool, and the fact that I can't believe it's still working. So timing is another piece. And then the real third thing I want to say, kind of by way of introducing Carrie, I am just thrilled and humbled to be able to be working with Carrie on something like this, and then to grab the talent that is Carrie into our community. I mean, she had a little bit of a foot in the community before she had this role. Didn't know her kind of neighbors.
Yeah.
Kind of. You know, Carrie has, and she won't probably say this in her presentation overtly, but I welcome you to extensive experience as director of parks and recreation for a number of large jurisdictions in Washington state, and is really on the regional and beyond scene for parks and recreation. So I like to joke, this ain't her first rodeo. She really knows this space and how to work well with agencies, the community, and get this done. So I think you line up the urgency and the timing of now, the togetherness that we've forged as agencies and a community, and the talent we have for somebody to spearhead this. This is probably our best shot in decades to get this done. So maybe that's just a quick intro to the slides, and Carrie can kind of just set the table.
Can I ask one question before we get to Carrie? Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Looking forward to your presentation. So John, both you and Aaron here in the room, you know, you mentioned timing, but you didn't mention the amount of money that's kind of floating around with the feds right now.
Yeah.
And so kind of if you both could say, just a quick nod, it's not like we have to have a long discussion about it, but it seems like the timing is also apropos because of the amount of money we're talking about a pretty big ask to put something like this together. And with all of us pulling together, that money is out there, seems like. Am I wrong? Am I right? As good a time as any to be.
Probably no better time in history. I mean, just looking at the programs that have been puffed up, just little example, the port infrastructure development grants that were distributed in fiscal year 2022, they normally run around $200 million. They did $700 million this year in funding. And so, you know, I'm mostly sitting here wishing that I had asked for some of it. So I'm working on next year's program. But, you know, it's those, you know, it's that delta. And I know I shared with you the person I talked to from EPA who had said, you know, like we're normally 1 in 10. Next year, we think we're going to be 1 out of 2 that we fund. So it's things like that. I do think there's some creative avenues. Pools are tough, but you know, maybe this pool, because of its age, maybe there's energy efficiency arguments. We know there's safety arguments for electrical storms. I mean, there's so many issues. I mean, it doesn't work for competition. I mean, just tick down the list. It's nice that there's a pool, but that's kind of where, period, that's it. You know, then it's how do you build from there? And I think that's what Kerry's putting together is a broader package that could have a lot more appeal.
Thank you. It's a good nod.
Thank you, John, and thank you, Aaron. I appreciate it. My name is Kerry Heights, and I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation Strategy for the City of Port Townsend. I'm fairly new to the community, but been getting myself around the community and trying to put some kind of framework together to work on long-term strategic directions for Parks and Recreation for Port Townsend. So what you have in front of you and what you have in your packet is something called, it's a framework called Healthier Together. And it is a framework to rebuild the pool and to bring some dry side as well, community health and wellness center to town. And to John's point, we have a lot of partners at the table on this effort, unlike what's been at the table in previous years. And in your framework packet, you have a background piece that I put together after meeting with Earl Merman and heard all the way back to the year 2000. And I didn't go beyond that, but the past 22 years, there's been 6 to 8 attempts to try to rebuild the pool with no success. And I think the commonality in that is good lessons learned is that not everybody was at the table at the same time. You know, there might have been 2 partners and another partner pulled out, or 3 or 1. And right now we have county, the port, the hospital district, the Y, the Jackson Aquatic Coalition, and the city. So we're all together and we're working together to figure this out and go through the framework together over the next year. And so I'm here to present to you the framework and to talk a little bit about it. It's really a brief presentation, but it is, it's a kind of a jump start to get this conversation going again in the community and to plan. Yeah.
What about the school?
Oh, the school district. Did I not say the school district? They're at the table. My apologies. Yeah, and then Chimicum School District also is thinking about it. They just don't quite yet see the value add for them because of their transportation issues to get people into town. But Port Townsend School District is definitely at the table.
So where does Chimicum swim now? I mean, I know that they swim on the high school team.
Yeah, I think they do alternating sports, and so they do bring them into town to swim, but there's an issue with like the families and the teachers and people getting into town. It's hard for them to see a value add right now. It's not that they're not at the table, they want to consider it. They feel like Chimicum does need services, and so it's something that they may come to the table later once we start the conversation and start building it or start envisioning it. So the purpose of this particular framework is to really build out that long-term infrastructure. Let's figure out, you know, with all the partners at the table and the timing right into Commissioner Pete Honke's, you know, the timing is that we have resources in the community that we can tap into. And so just really trying to look at that on a long-term vision. Next. So our project overview really for this particular project is re-engage the previous partners, which I've just named all the partners at the table. Thank you, Commissioner Petroni. And then the planning effort from September, we did start in September through July 23rd. And there's a reason strategically why we timed it through July 23rd. And it's a pretty expedited process. But it is to get ready if there's any tolerance at all or any impetus at all to go to the voters for like a Metropolitan Park District or any kind of voter approved initiative. We need to be able to adopt that in August to get it on the November ballot. So we want to wrap up the planning by July. It might not, the funding of this may not include that. It may include that. We just don't want
the timing to be prohibitive of even thinking about that option. So trying to time it to conclude in July. And then in July, really the culmination is of the community planning is for the council and for all elected officials within Jefferson County to make a decision on what's the best path forward. And to Aaron's point, just trying to figure out the financial plan, the operations plan, to site it, to figure out, get it to a 25% schematic design and really have something to hold on to if we do need to go to voters. Okay, next. So just a bit of a project background. You have it in your framework from the year 2000. In 2015 and 17, the city did quite a bit of capital improvements on the current pool. And to John's point, the pool is in pretty bad shape right now. And it's leaking and we've patched it. We've put a lot of Band-Aids on it. And sometimes you just can't put any more Band-Aids and you have to look at, well, how can you reinvent this? How can you rebuild it? This community had a community health assessment that was adopted in 2016 from the county, and it shows the need for active recreation opportunities in order to encourage and promote healthier living. The Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan was adopted in March of 2020. That is also a plan that has a basis in the rebuild of the pool and a community health and wellness center in town. We have a lot of potential partners at the table. There's a lot of preliminary interests. We've cobbled together about $200,000 for this effort to just in the next 9 months concentrate on getting it up to a schematic design and siting it and figuring out financially where we're going to pay for it. And that does include doing some polling as well to figure out the tolerance if that's a direction we go as a community. And then the current condition of the pool, I just mentioned it, but it is, I don't know how many more Band-Aids we can continue to put on it and bring along. So I know that there's a huge interest in this community to keep it open. And it's really hard to keep a pool like that open when it's leaking and it's bloated and systems are going down. And it's pretty expensive to operate at this level. Okay, next, Jordan. So just another way to look at the timeline, the milestones that we've hit already, and then where we're going as the yellow dots at the end of this chart. And then at 2015 to 21, we made significant investments in the pool to try to keep it open. In 2020, we adopted the PROS plan. In 21, we were forced to close the pool, partly because of the pandemic, but staff shortages and equipment failures as well. All three of those played a role in that. And then in 2021, the council adopted budget to include some long-term strategy for parks, and that is what brought me to town. And in 21, the city also partnered with the Y for operations. They're doing a phenomenal job with the tools that they have to operate the pool and trying to give us that asset for the community. In 22 and 23, we're right now at re-engaging the partners, launching the Healthier Together initiative, and launching some community engagement. And then in Q3 of 2023, we want to culminate it in some decision-making on a path forward for this effort. Next. So the community outreach and involvement, I want to talk a little bit about that. I know it's so important in this community to be transparent and for people to be involved and everybody to be involved. And so what you have in your framework is a community engagement strategy where we would, we want to enter into an MOU and we want to share the cost for this effort, and we've already gotten some preliminary commitments. What you will see likely in front of you in the next month is an interlocal agreement and a memorandum of understanding so that you can adopt or bless the process as we go forward. We want to hire an architect that would come in to the community and work with us to do some concept planning with all the partners and also the community. We want them to look at siting and concept planning and get us up to 25% of the schematic design, financial planning, and operations. So I know the Y has been at the table and is at the table, and we will look at the Y for operations, but we can also look at other operational models as well. And so it's not prohibitive. Any pathway that we choose to take as a community is still open. It's not predetermined. And then we lodge a community engagement framework and have some open houses and a way for people to weigh in on the process. Next, John. The next couple slides just break down the phases for community outreach involvement, phase one, phase two, phase three, and four and five. So one and two, we really are asking a consultant to come in and say to us, you know, review our all of our existing information and put together some focus groups and begin the financial planning. And you'll see in each of the phases, we've included financial planning because we think it's really important to start that in the very beginning of this process so there's no surprises at the end of the process. We also think that as people start to weigh in on this process, we need to manage expectations because I think that if everybody's at the table, it can blow up to be an 80,000 square foot facility, which we are never going to afford. And so we really need to, all the partners need to manage those, and we all need to lift this together. It's going to take all of us at the table to lift it together. I think I said at the county, it's like a mighty heave-ho, or we're just lifting it up and trying to figure out how to finance it and site it and get it operational in our community. And then next, phase three and four and five are just really narrowing it down to some final concepts and some adoption at the end of phase five. And then really what you can expect at the end of phase five is to have a plan that has a path forward on financing and operations. We know where it's going to go. We know the size of it. We know what it looks like. And everybody blesses that process as we go forward and we start to put the puzzle together to make it happen. Next, John. And so right now, we've been to all of our partners' commissions and board meetings, and we're just asking the partners to review the framework, give us any feedback you might have. It's been really a pleasure to have Aaron at the table and his understanding of the importance of this in the community. And we appreciate the support of this project. With that, any questions at all?
I have a question. I'm wondering Well, one of the things that I did in my past life was teach for USC and Safety at Sea seminars mm-hmm. in Annapolis and
right
on this coast. And this is the perfect community to host that. But a big part of the Safety at Sea seminar is having all of the people who, in order to do an offshore race, for example, have to take this class,
right?
Where you're blowing off fire extinguishers. But to the point is they have to jump in the pool with life jackets,
yeah,
and deploy a life raft and be able to get in there with their mm-hmm. foul gear and boots,
right,
and their life jacket into a life raft. Yeah. And I just think the Maritime Center is a perfect place to host that, but we haven't been able to do that in the past. And I just didn't know if you'd been in communication with Maritime Center about education component for Safety at Sea things or.
Well, Jake's been on vacation, so we haven't quite touched base, but he has an email and I have a call into him. And so that is definitely a partner that came up in the mix of conversation and that I'm trying to connect with. Yeah.
I think the other piece of that I mentioned was that able-bodied seaman training, which I think also requires an in-water component, which right now they do out there mm-hmm. in the water, but it's maybe suboptimal.
Yeah, Port Angeles, the city actually paid for it, but then the community re-upped and started the Metropolitan Park District to keep it funded. They were going to close it down, and then the community had an outcry, which is oftentimes what happens when you have something that closes. That's what the impetus is to vote a voter-approved initiative. Sometimes it's harder to start from fresh, but since this has been an ongoing discussion for 22 years, it's not fresh in people's minds anymore. They're like, yeah, let's finally get this done. And
I was just on the SARC Facebook page. So what happened with SARC?
Yeah, with SWIM, the city of SWIM ran a Parks and Recreation Service Area, which is different than a Metropolitan Parks District. It was a voter approved initiative to build the SARC, and then they were operating it. The Parks and Recreation Service Area is a 6-year long initiative, and you have to re-up every 6 years with the voters. Went back out to a vote and it failed. after the first 6 years. And so the Y came in and said, we'll operate it, but it has to be a membership model because we have to have a way to pay to operate it. And so the Y is now operating SARC, and the city gave it to the Y to operate. They're leasing it to the Y to operate, but it's because the voters did not approve it the second time around.
How does that work, that model of memberships? And
yeah, it's going okay. It's not, they have something that they have, and I can't speak to it specifically, but I know Wendy Bart, the CEO, is, they have something within their structure that helps for people that can't afford it. And so it's not prohibitive for people, but it's enough for them to operate the Y, and it doesn't close the door on anybody.
The schedule model was similar with the new pool built and owned by the Y on land donated by Lutheran Church. It was like a $22 million project. And one of the things that the cities did there is contributed to the capital phase of that. And in exchange, through interlocal agreement, had community nights. So essentially, you know, there was a night, a month, when if you lived in this city, you could come swim for free.
Yeah.
And the concept was it was bringing people from the same place together mm-hmm. to come play in the pool.
Yeah.
But pretty limited. I mean, I was like, oh, well, once, you know, I think there are three cities contributed to that because Anacortes had their own pool.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there was a night a month for each of them where their communities could come play in the pool. Otherwise, it was membership model,
yeah,
but not wildly unaffordable.
I negotiated an agreement with the Y and the Greater Puget Sound area to operate a pool, and we asked and specifically requested that they give the residents of that city a resident rate, so a reduction in rate, and they wouldn't have to pay a membership fee. And then they also ended up selling passes, pool passes, at a pretty reduced rate, just for residents of that community, because their tax dollars are paying for it already with the land and the pool and everything. And they were pretty amenable to that model, and the community was amenable to that model. It really made sense at the end of the day.
So the city runs pool management system, you know?
The Metropolitan Park District runs Port Angeles, the Y doesn't, but it is a whole separate taxing district, junior taxing district that operates it. Yeah,
you do a good job.
Yeah,
we met the other day for birthday party. It's impactful.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain ways you need to design a pool, and that's really a benefit to this community because we're designing from ground up. But there's ways that you can design a pool that will pay for itself. It's really, pools are very expensive operationally. They're very expensive to keep open. But if you tweak designs and you consider that in your designing phase, then they can pay for it. And to your point, you know, pack the pool and it pays for the operations.
Is it an opportunity to use alternative energy?
Absolutely, yeah.
Solar panels on
yeah.
That's supposed to be pump steam from the mills in the new pool.
Yeah.
Make it free. Have a funding for that.
Yeah.
rebuild the shed.
Yeah.
Maybe a question for John, I don't know, but you know, this, Carrie, you mentioned siting, and
yeah.
So that's kind of the elephant in the room being District 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe it's a reverse in membership where outlying communities get a reduction in memberships to come in if it's a Y control membership.
Definitely could be. Yeah. I mean, I think everything's on the table. And so just really having to figure that out.
So, I mean, I guess the question is the city really focused on having this pool in the city? At one time, there was talk about putting it out at Four Corners a while. That was probably, 10 years ago when that movement was there to make it more accessible for the whole community.
Right.
I go back to what Carrie just said and say, everything's on the table. That's the chance we have to say, how do we optimize both the access? Because, you know, if I were anecdotally going to, you know, say who's using the pool right now, I mean, you know, when the city was operating it, low program, why operating it, already seen a jump in use, but my guess is through both, it's a regional service. So I think it kind of accentuates your point, how you get that balance. Now, of course, the city operates it, so there's the pay, you know, the sort of their equity taxpayer, but all that stuff should be worked out through this process. Because, right. You know, it's the same conversation we've had about other sites that could be on the table with other institutions that are at the table with the partners. You know, I'm talking with Mike Glenn, I mean, there's a ton of opportunity. So
ideally,
the location also complicated, as I understand it, by Colla Point, Peach Gorge, Low, where you know they pay for the own pools. Yeah. So they're not private to a pool, they've got pools.
Right.
And they want to share their pools and they want to pay for our pool. They've got, you know, so it's kind of challenging when you go to the ballot box and you say, hey, can you pay a tax for a pool that you don't plan to use because you already pay for a pool?
Yeah. No, I got that. I'm more thinking of the pools.
Right. And ideally, as we start as a community to this and talk about what makes sense siting wise, ideally it would be already a public land in ownership. Otherwise, you have acquisition costs. You have to build on to the cost of building it, which is sometimes can be prohibitive as
well. Herb Beck Marina swimming pool facility. We got the
land. Facility.
We got the land.
With geothermal heat coming up.
We don't have that.
Fill up cherries for your bottle.
Yeah,
shouldn't say that.
The mentioned size, and I'm curious. Do you have any sense of like what the maximum might be that we could as community afford, and also how that compares to like SARC?
Yeah,
something I'm more familiar with. That's where we take our kids.
That's a good question. You know, I've been in my head thinking 25 to 40,000 square feet is a good size for an Olympic size pool, or not Olympic size, but a regulation size pool. It can include a second tank, which is a warm water therapy pool for the hospital, can include some dry side. It's the SARC is about 25,000 square feet. So it's a little bit bigger than that. It's a little bit bigger than the Port Angeles pool. It's just a pool. There's not a lot of dry side. There's some, but not like a workout room, a fitness room, a walking track or anything like that. And so just really, I know that there's a lot of partners at the table and everybody wants something in this building. And so it's trying to figure out the best balance, but also manage those expectations to get it into an affordable range.
Yeah, are you thinking more of just a pool? More like
SARC. Yes. That has some other opportunities. Yeah.
Like saunas and steamers.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
That's definitely sure.
Yeah.
Do you have some cities, places, pools already that you're looking at as models financially as well as?
There's a few in the state. I was talking to the county commissioners yesterday, and you know, the one state in our nation that did a really good job at building pools like this and facilities like this for health and wellness is Colorado. And it's because they structured their state taxes in a way that made it really easy for jurisdictions to build community health and wellness centers. In the state of Washington, the structure, the tax structure and the funding structure isn't as advantageous to build these, and they're pretty expensive, but there are some communities that have done that in town. So you can look at Linwood, you can look at Federal Way, Vancouver, where they have, it's everything. It's a pool, it's a, you know, childcare center, it's a senior center that's built in, it's a some dry site for education programs and yoga and Pilates and all sorts of things. And so the different ways people have funded them is through federal and state grants and private funding. There's been some philanthropy funding that has been at the table. There's been, I know the city of Linwood did a utility tax and paid for theirs. They got bonding and they're paying the bonds off with utility tax. So there's a couple of the one thing that our state does have is Metropolitan Park District, and it is an incredible tool for parks and recreation if this community has some tolerance for that type of structure. And it's a 50% simple majority vote. It is in perpetuity. You can call out the amount that you levy, or you can keep it up to 75 cents per thousand, or per 100,000, excuse me.
But it is a tool that the state gave local jurisdictions to be able to support parks and recreation, since they're not really considered, a lot of people, myself included, consider them essential services, but they're not state mandated like police and fire and finance and all of that. And so they gave the parks and recreation jurisdictions that tool to use in order to support parks and recreation.
If you did that, would that be countywide or would that be Fort Nelson?
They that tool, actually, you can stay within the jurisdiction, like the city of Port Townsend, you can stay within the county, or you can draw your own boundaries. And to Aaron's point, if we looked at countywide, we might want to draw a boundary and leave out Cape George and Cala Point and Port Ludlow, because they already have their own pools, and draw a boundary that is an area that would utilize a pool and support something like that. And so if you do draw your own boundary, then you have to vote in some a secondary governing body to govern the MPD. If you stay within a city boundary or a county boundary, the county commissioners or the city council can be the governing body of the MPD. But if you draw your own, you have to elect people to run the MPD to be the governing body. A little complicated, but it works. Cities, there's a lot of MPDs in Washington State since that tool has been given to the jurisdictions.
Okay, how about in more rural areas? Are there any examples?
Actually, it's mostly in rural areas. It's mostly the largest MPD is not a rural area. It's in Tacoma Metro Parks, Tacoma. But you have Sideview and North Bend and all some kind of rural areas that do MPDs because they don't have a lot of money to support parks and recreation, but people in the community support parks and recreation and outdoor space and active living and everything that kind of pushes that impetus for the public to vote. And so a lot of the MPDs in this area are rural. I'm not aware of any on the site in the peninsula except for the William Shore Pool and Port Angeles.
Is that how Port Angeles is paying for the skating park and the next place for that metro park?
It could be. I know they have one established out there. And so you can continue to add on to it without the vote of the people if you run it as an initiative that has an open end up to 75 cents per 100,000.
There's kind of a thing of balance here too. Maybe the questions about tolerance to pay. There's a balance question we'll be asking through our financial sustainability task force that launches later next week, I think it is. To really work through a range of priorities at the city level. And I've said to Aaron and to all colleagues at other agencies, let's share that work because it's kind of an effort to try to do what the ICG is doing also. Like what are we programming? What times would it step on each other and so we can support each other? It's also an issue of balance with an MPD thinking through, for instance, this is only for instance, an MPD solely for use for an aquatic center, I think would be folly. With what I know now, because there are greater needs and broader needs around more than just aquatic center community. So you want to use it as a tool with some balance to, well, what is the right amount to your point of, trails, open space, as well as aquatic support. And then I think there's, balance on the facility itself, like we're talking about expectations on, you throw all the ideas into the mix and try to build that, it's going to be way too unaffordable. Mm-hmm. But I mean, back to being together, if we're able to work out our priorities and have challenging and courageous conversations about, well, it'd be really nice, but actually we have to hone it here, I'm confident we can fit it through the doors.
Mm-hmm. And the existing bond for Mountain View, is that for the pool?
Yeah, for the facility, yeah.
And how much time is on the clock for that?
I think it's 2030, if I'm not mistaken. That was over $2 million, and city's ratepayers are paying that now. Go down that track, it's a painful one.
So you would need to demolish Mountain View as part of the project.
Yeah.
Possibly, although I don't know if it's still on the table. I mean, that is a site and a facility and a related issue. And so maybe, sorry to jump in here too much, part of the city's commitment to this is carrier. So we're using federal funding to say our community, we're loud and clear from the PROS plan and engagement that parks and recreation and open space planning is a huge priority. So we really prioritize that in our funding. ARPA funding, and that's why Carrie's here. So I don't want to over leverage that to say, well, see, so the table, we've thrown a lot of cash at this. You know, we're a shoulder to shoulder partner here, and we're putting money into the planning effort besides Carrie's time as well. But I think that's something that I think is, germane to the mix here.
Right.
There's another point I was going to add. I was using that to jump into another point. I lost it. So,
well, pause for now. Cool English.
Oh, yeah. I guess I was going to say, I mean, that's not off the table, just like, site planning elsewhere would be. And I guess what I think here, that's why we were so well together. Mm-hmm. Carrie's also leading the Gulf Coast Mountain View conversation. And those are kind of two parallel processes that have some interesting connections, because, of course, Mountain View is where the pool is currently.
Yeah.
But we're doing a similar engagement process that you might be aware of now, about what's the future of that 50-acre municipal facility and the Mountain View campus, which is owned by the school district and leased to the city. And what I get excited about, again, to that larger point of working together, this would not have been possible to have a conversation, I think, a number of years ago. But to put it all on the table and to confidently step back and say, wow, actually thinking holistically about how all these pieces fit together gives us the maximum opportunity to make something awesome happen. If we were just trying to do Mountain View, if we were just trying to do pools, if we were just trying to do golf course, I don't think that would yield the optimal outcome. But I guess I just want to draw some attention to that they're connected. It might be that they're disconnected because mm-hmm. that's not an optimal site for it. Actually, it's in Quilsey that hurt that
right.
But we want to keep those opportunities open and have confidence and kind of clarity to be able to look at them all.
Right.
Is there any chance that the Mountain View building, which is beautifully sited, has all those great windows, is it structurally sound enough in terms of its exterior roof, all that sort of thing, to repurpose as part of, let's say the great pool is built beside it, mm-hmm. so to speak, and then there's that space for sauna.
And the pickleball.
Pickleball.
That seems to be the same. Although I like the sauna better, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering what I see as I could imagine then that we still have a pool for a while and that mm-hmm. It would then become the phase two of whatever else is going to be in this.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the realm.
It certainly could be in the realm. I know that the elementary school has gone through some seismic upgrades and is in good shape. So the actual building, the pool's in, we're having issues with the boilers there. We're having, which is just the heater, not related to the pool, but we're still having other capital issues in that building. And so we really have to take a hard look at that to say, does it make sense to keep it standing and rehab it and remodel it and redo it so that we can maximize the space? We'd have to fill a new pool at that point, right? If we build another pool. So certainly part of
it would cost more.
It might
rebuild that away, demolish it and rebuild.
Right.
We have our maintenance expert
cleaning on that.
We have a rebuild. That's always the question. I
want to make sure it's all four times school district property.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is my next question. So what's the deal with the school district? I mean, seems like they should be gifting that to one of the agencies, the city, obviously, if we were to use that. I mean, that's a great site, no doubt. It's a great site.
Yeah.
But it seems like the school district's kind of making out like a bandit here unless they give it away.
They have a long-term lease with us, and they've also have voiced their support for the city to use that as a community asset. They understand that the community uses and relies on that site, and they don't have any plans going forward to redo that site for a school of any kind. And so they really are supportive of the city to be on that land. They're actually two of the school board members are on the Gulf Coast Mountain View Commons Task Force or stakeholder group as we start to plan for the Mountain View campus. And to John's point, this particular Healthier Together initiative will likely intersect and collide with that initiative as we start to look at siting a pool. And or if people start to talk about a pool at Mountain View, then we'll have to consider that and look at everything that we have on that site.
I think it's also appropriate to shout out and give recognition to the school district to have, it's their facility, and the city's asking the question, how do we optimize, take away the golf course for a second, just that campus for accessing the utility to the community, and for them to be owning the facility and, work with us and trust us to lead the process with their engagement. I mean, I think that puts us into the relationship, and I really appreciate their commitment.
So, Carrie, can you tell me again what your next major step is? I'm on this community outreach and involvement page.
Next major step. That's coming up soon. It's the first thing. But I will, the first, actually, even prior to that, it's trying to solidify the partnerships. And so the interlocal agreements and memorandum of understanding. I also did a request for qualifications for a landscape architect. So it's getting the partners at the table to review that, to be on the selection team and to select somebody to come into our community and help us plan for this. And so it's really trying to solidify the agreements, the interlocal agreements with all of the jurisdictions. The city has committed to being the fiscal partner. And so in order to be able to pay the architect, an architect to come in and work with us, we need to be able to invoice people. And we need to something that is in writing that says, yes, this makes sense.
So we would create an MOU
for all the partners.
And any other partners like potentially the North American Center, the right. School District. And then when you say share the costs, what does that mean?
Everybody's bringing different amounts to the table. Aaron has committed $5,000, as he said previously. The county yesterday, we did a presentation and they're talking about $100,000. The hospital district has about $50,000. We're bringing money to the table as well, along with my time. And then the school district's bringing a few dollars to the table, but they also recognize that you might be their asset that they can contribute to this effort.
Okay. Thank you.
Were those leasehold improvements that the city did to the elementary building?
Say that again.
The elementary building
right.
being improved with leasehold improvements.
Right. Tenant improvements, yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Glad you're here.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your interest and support and questions. And again, it's a heavy lift for all of us. I mean, to get something like this in a small community is hard. And so it just really is everybody at the table at the same time.
Maybe Patty's feeling pretty jubilant about her victory. We should go pull on her coattail.
Yeah.
I think we talked to her team about it.
Talking to all our legislators about it.
Yeah.
Good job, Patty.
Yeah.
We need 30 minutes.
Show us the cash. Yeah.
Another thought that I've had for our community is in the event of the big one, for example, or even just a huge weather event that we're going to have a lot of people, I would love to see our community have some sort of gathering center, some sort of shelter that could provide those few days that really make a difference.
Yeah.
Well-being, and it seems like that might be something that could be funded as part of this. And just, again, I know it, it could be really that's as an elected official,
right?
Something that I think is dear to all of us. Like, how do we really take care of our population
in
times of extremists that are upon us, really, climate-wise?
Yeah. And that's something we certainly can look at. When you start to look at design standards and the kind of minimum requirements for safe shelter in a community, it gets really expensive to start to build that. And it doesn't make sense sometimes unless you can tap into additional funding at a federal level to help support that, because it starts to get pretty prohibitively expensive to make it that structurally sound. But it's not off the table. I think it's a good thought, and it's something that would be an asset to this community and something to look at
So too, there'd be a lot of drinking water available for a lot of
Yeah, we actually drawn from the pool when we had a chlorine issue, not from literally the water, but like the supply of chlorine for the pool. We signed this nationwide chlorine shortage.
Yeah, it was.
How do we keep water treatment? You know, right. But I think the point's a good one. Part of the conversation a couple generations ago, and I think there was a fierce focus on emergency management and response and the federal funding streams that might be available for that. So that's why it's very helpful to keep that on the table for that very reason.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, thank you. Very much. Now you're in person. Yeah, see you. Very nice to meet you all. Right, I was thinking that you three might enjoy walking out to the point and looking at the project maybe more closely this morning.
I had breakfast this morning. It was the railing was going on butter. I couldn't remember. And it was so quiet again. Sitting up there having breakfast.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Anyway, so that concludes our meeting. It was Kim coming.
Okay.
And yeah, we should go out and
I can go grab the PPE that's necessary to actually enter the project site.
Oh, we need our hard hats.
Our hats and high vis vests.
Yeah.
If you want to go through the gate.
Oh, and I have a request from Chris Berger wanted to stop by and